Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Fish feathers. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalms 103:13. With many species of fish, it is the male that builds the nest and cares for the incubating eggs and later the babies. Probably the best nest builders of the fish world are sticklebacks, small, scaleless fish named for the spines in front of the upper fin. The stickleback male uses his mouth and a sticky secretion from special glands to make a nest out of twigs, stems, and leaves. The nest is hollow, has a single entrance, and is attached to reeds or some other foundation. When the nest is completed, the male fish leads one or more females into the structure. The females then leave, and the male fertilizes the eggs, guards the nest until they are hatched, and cares for the young until they can care for themselves. Several species of fish make nests by blowing bubbles from their mouths. The male goes to the surface of the water, takes air into his mouth, and blows a number of bubbles that, mixed with the secretion from the fish itself, stick together and float on top of the water. He then finds the mate who lays eggs, which he fertilizes. He then takes the eggs into his mouth, encases them in a bubble, and sends the bubble up to the bubble nest. The male chases the female away while he stays to guard and repair the nest. In some cases, he also takes care of his brood after they have hatched. The males of some South American species of fish carry the eggs in their mouth until they hatch. These males do not eat during the incubation period. When the young emerge, the father chases away all enemies and holds his mouth open so the little fish can swim back to safety when the need arises. Throughout nature, there are literally thousands and thousands of ways that God has given evidence of the care that a father uses in rearing his offspring. These are a small reminder that our Heavenly Father watches over every one of us, no matter how small or how insignificant we may think we are. Fish fathers. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for these reminders of your love for us and your care. I am so encouraged to know and to be reminded every day that you know the measure of my steps. You know the number of hairs on my head. You know the health of the very DNA that is in my body. Thank you, Lord, and thank you for loving my loved ones too. I just pray for this show that it will be a blessing. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, I put a couple of videos about the stickleback fish because I find it so fascinating that those little fish work so hard to protect their young. And then I also put a little fishy craft. It's kind of like a simple origami. You take a square piece of paper and you fold it so it's a triangle. Another way to integrate geometry into arts and crafts. And then you cut it, don't cut the crease, but you cut it and then you fold it over. And you just need to go there and see how cute this little fish is. Put a little eyeball on it, and it kind of moves because it has the reticulation, and it's pretty cool. Anyway, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Well, we're discussing all week long teaching our children a foreign language, and today we're going to talk about French. The best resource that I have found is The Homeschool Mom, and in this resource, It's full of additional resources like Mon Professeur. It's an internet-based French lessons via Skype and Alecta. And it also, it has a code here if it has teacher resources, which would be very helpful. After all, as a homeschool mom, you are the teacher. And there's HelloWorld.com French, which has games and puzzles and other activities that make learning French fun. There's basic French lessons, most common French words, online French lessons, and these are free. French word fun colors, another free resource. So some of these resources I imagine you pay for, but a lot of them say free. Free French free worksheets from happychild.org. So go to thehomeschool.mom and check out the French. They have other language resources there too. It's just a great resource. Questions parents ask. This is a great question, and many are struggling with this very thing. This question is, my son is 7 and dislikes reading and writing, and he just won't do it. He just refuses to do anything. He can read when it suits him, and he can write if I give him candy, but obviously that can't be for life. Any advice? Well, first of all, if you have started teaching him too young, something happens called a resistance to learning. We just started too young, especially boys. A lot of good research indicates that boys shouldn't have academics until they are about 7. So if we've started him really young, it's just like, oh, it's like trying to squash something into a peg that's just not made for that size. In that case, I would recommend that you unschool him for at least 1 year, but make sure that he sees you enjoying reading a book, cozying up, make a reading time in the middle of the day where if he wants you to read to him, you can read to him, but he doesn't have to read. And then let him see you figuring out things when you're cooking. That's such a great math. You know, I want to make this recipe bigger. I want to double this recipe. And don't make him do the work. Just let him observe you enjoying that you are figuring it out. And you'll be surprised that it will catch on, that it's really fun to learn. And those of us that have become lifelong learners, we have so much fun learning new things. And we learn from our students, and we can encourage them. Teach me about these plants. I know with my grandson, today we love to go to the nursery because I just tell him, you know, I love to hear you tell me all about these plants. And it might be true what he's telling me, and it might not be. I don't care. I just love hearing him tell me about the plants. And then there's a creek not far from my house. I just love to hear him talk about the salamanders, you know, and he'll catch a salamander, and then he'll explain all about what he's discovered about that salamander. Sure, I might know it, but I sure love hearing him talk to me about the salamanders. And I think that if you reverse the pressure that you're putting on your young son, you will be surprised because God has wired us for learning. Here's a health-related question. They have a large number of kids, and most of the kids can monitor how much sweets they eat, but one child can't. And I know that I've had some of those children in my family too. They literally are talking about locking up the sweets. So what do you think? Should we lock the sweets away? We don't want our children to be addicted, but sugar is so addicting, and most of us are addicted. By the time we reach adulthood, we are addicted to sugar. So that being said, yeah, take it away. Help that child. You don't want them to be sick. You don't want them to have lifelong problems like obesity or diabetes. So yes, if they don't have the ability, it would just be like someone who didn't have an arm or didn't have a leg. We wouldn't require them. We'd help them. And so that's what we need to do with our children who seem not to be able to monitor their own appetite. Well, we're going to finish the second part of our interview with Dr. Nicole Davis, and I'm sure you're enjoying it as much as I have. If you didn't get to hear yesterday's interview, please go back to the podcast and listen. And she really does help nourish and strengthen a woman's God-given role. We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. Rose Gamblin with the Mind Matter Minute.
The old belief of students as empty vessels waiting to be filled with knowledge has given way to the constructivist belief. Do you know what constructivist means? Constructivist is from the word to construct or build. Now we believe that the mind continuously builds understandings based on prior experiences and new information. The idea of a fixed intelligence has given way to a more flexible, gradual intellectual development dependent on external stimulation. The brain is like a jungle in which systems interact continuously and in a seemingly chaotic fashion, suggesting that mind matter thrives in a rich and problem-filled environment.
Mind Matter Minute is brought to you by MRG Media Ministry. For more information on topics about learning, go to mrgmediaministry.com. That's mrgmediaministry.com.
Highland View Academy, a STEM-certified college preparatory Christian high school in Hagerstown, Maryland, offers a great Christian education for day or boarding high school students, addressing spiritual, academic, community service, physical, and social needs and requirements. Registration and enrollment are now open for the upcoming school year. For more information about Highland View Academy of Hagerstown, contact us today at 301-739-8480 or highlandviewacademy.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Nicole Davis, and she's written this book called Eve, Where Are You? You can go to the website evewhereareyou.com, all spelled out, or you can go to empowertoengage.com, and we recognize that God uses women. He calls women, but the churches that we attend may not recognize that call. So yesterday we were talking about those verses in the Bible where it says, you know, women should be seen and not heard kind of thing, or covered, and you were just about ready to reveal to us how you handled those scriptures when we had to conclude the interview. So let's take up from there.
Absolutely, and I love being back here with you to have this conversation. It's a very important conversation in today's world with all that's going on. But yes, we covered all of those scriptures, and a lot of times it was these pastors or these leaders were just sharing what they had been taught. You know, even though some did do a deeper dive, like really looked into them to see what was Paul saying or what was happening culturally back mm-hmm. in the day. But because it was so ingrained, what they had learned and the traditions, that they weren't willing to open themselves up to change. There were others who read, got a greater understanding of God's original purpose and design for women, and were willing to make the change. But they were incremental changes, not the overall. So you can be an elder, but I'm not sure about pastor.
Yeah.
So still struggling with mm-hmm. what to do with that information. Well, in the book, I tackle all of the scriptures that bring us at loggerheads mm-hmm. and keep us divided, which is what the enemy loves.
Mm-hmm.
But I also show God's original intent, when he created Adam and Eve with the sole purpose of them co-reigning and co-ruling.
Yes.
Because they had dominion together.
Yes.
And that is in every area of our lives, whether it's with mother and father. You know, you need both. And both are important. And the church is the same way. Both spirit beings embodied in male and female are necessary for the church to have its full expression in what God desires. So the book talks about the scriptural component, the theological bin, and then there's the social science side where I look at theories about how we deal with our mentality and how we think, our willingness to change. What are our issues around identity and what do we believe about power? So all of that married together really helps to empower women, educating them. It enlightens men because now they can have a greater understanding from a number of different perspectives. And then for churches that are courageous enough to make this transformation yes. as necessary, it helps them to show them a process because of the work I've done with organizations. What kind of assessments do we need organizational to see how it is that we're doing our ordinations or how is it that we're managing our people and membership and ensuring that everyone feels included, everyone understands purpose and identity, and that we're all unified in how we do this work together.
And we have opportunity. If you're never given an opportunity, praise God, He doesn't look at us the same way as we look at each other. But you need to have the opportunity.
Yes.
And I love the title of the book, Eve, Where Are You? Because, well, you know, it's been lorded over us that we really are the reason that the earth fell to begin with. You know, we're the sin problem.
Yes.
So you've kind of taken that question, Eve, where are you? And you've turned it into something more beautiful.
Go ahead.
I don't know how your thought process worked when you were making a title, but I always like to ask about that because every title is so powerful.
Yes.
Especially if you know the story behind it.
Yes. And so the title came in an instant. I really can't give a full, like the big climax isn't around how the title came, which was the Lord's just dropped it in my spirit one day. He just dropped it. And I was in the process of writing, not knowing what it would be. But it's more about what the title represents. And it's multi-layered.
Mm-hmm.
But at its core, what it's saying is, at any given point in your life, Eve, where are you? Are you as woman able to fully assess and appreciate what is happening for you, to you, and through you? And are you giving full expression to what God desires at that juncture in your life? That's one. Two is, Eve, where are you from the standpoint God designed you for greatness, woman? Whatever is happening in your life, and if you have not yielded completely to the call of God on your life, you're not realizing you're leaving us in at a loss in the earth. There are people who need you, who need what you have. As small as you may think it is, it could be great in the eyes of someone who is struggling or who needs support, and you're the one that can make that difference. So are you living fully to what God designed when He created you? Eve, where are you? Show up, stand in the light, and allow us to partake of the beauty and the splendor of what God created when He made you.
I'm actually getting chills, you know, a response to that, because I'm envisioning this mom with, you know, 5 or 6 children, and the laundry is piled up, the dishes are filling the sink, and she's sitting there in a paralyzed state because it's just overwhelming. There's just so much to do, and on top of that, she really feels a burden to homeschool her kids, so they're all there, and it's so easy to get stressed out and all nervous about what you aren't doing. And then when you recognize that God is saying, Eve, where are you? And the moment you turn from all the busyness and junk of life and you turn and go, Lord, here I am. The angels will come down. They will fortify you. The Holy Spirit will fill your brain, and you will again be able to do what God wants you to do. Your mission field begins at home.
Absolutely. And that's exactly where I was. I was a stay-at-home mom. And I remember believing that those were like the best years of my life. I could see myself doing that. You know, the kids were small, and what other joy is there when you really are fully embracing your role as a parent? And it was in that where God started whispering to me, I know you're enjoying this, Nicole, but there's so much more that I require of you. And just him saying that to me, he was letting me know, in this moment, this is your reality. But this won't always be your reality. And so that's the same for women.
That's right. Absolutely. Those little ones grow up.
Yes.
They launch, and God will still be saying, Eve, where are you?
Yes. Or they just go to school. They don't have to grow up. Because once they go to school, you still have all that time.
Yes.
Now you're at
home. Yes. And it's okay. You know, I tell moms who go, I just feel like it'd be a sin if I send my children to school. I go, the truth of the matter is, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. And if you are trying to homeschool 7 children, each one in a different grade, and you've got a little toddler and you're pregnant. I mean, I have families that are like that. They believe that God has, you know, told them to just have lots of children, but then the homeschooling and everything's just overwhelming. When mama's happy, everybody's happy. And sending a few kids off to school, I mean, I've talked some of them, you know, send that child to school.
Right.
That child needs really help, and you're ending up spinning your whole life around that child when someone else could come up beside you and help you with that child, and then you could homeschool successfully the other children that maybe aren't so ADHD that you can't control them. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of our show. This interview's gone so fast for me because I love both that empower to engage.
Yes.
Because we do need to be empowered.
Yes.
We need to be empowered because Satan's going around seeing whom he can devour.
That's
and
right.
The way he does it is he paralyzes us and he makes us feel like we have nothing to give. So we need to empower to engage. And if they go to that website, Empower to Engage, are there tools there, or what have you put there that will help them?
Well, what they'll find is all of our books are there.
Okay.
But all of our services that Tony and I do together, we do coaching. I'm a certified mediator, so I do a lot of work with families. But we do trainings, and we like to talk people through their issues of life. Because you just need to know, we have information, we just don't know how to apply it. And so if you have someone who can help you walk through those things, and we do it individually or in groups, we work with churches or organizations, we can give you not only the information, but a strategy so that you can measure, you can see your success, your level of success over time.
Amen. Again, we were talking to Dr. Nicole Davis. Her website is empowertoengage.com, and the website for the book that we talked about, Eve, Where Are You? All spelled out, .com. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.